He pointed to a chair. I closed the door first and sat down. He said, I want to see to my son, who is safely back from school, and at the same time tell my wife that we are here to prepare the fifth meal. I now had an understanding of the five meals on Eckhart, the first one at 1/10 of the first hour of the day, the second at 8/10 of the first hour, the third at an hour and a half, the fourth in the second hour plus 1/10 and the fifth and last between the time of the second hour plus 8/10 and the third hour. I have numbered these meals. Eckhart had probably called me their names, which unfortunately I could not retain. 7. Events and memories at the end of the day. When Eckhart left me, I was almost overwhelmed by sleep on my chair. I started thinking about my situation. From Eckhart to Earth it was 60 million kilometers, seems incredibly I must be dreaming. Everything went round in my head. I opened my eyes wide, moving my head back and forth, blinking a few times and looking at the walls and furniture. Then I dropped my head, clasped my hands over my face and wanted to cry, scream, or who knows what else. The more I followed my thoughts, the less I understood what had been going on around me in the last few hours. I got up and walked around the room. I put my hand to my head. The cold sweat was on my forehead. I trembled all over and felt incredibly weak. I wanted to run after Eckhart, because those few minutes I spent alone with my thoughts almost drove me crazy. Finally, I managed to banish the confused thoughts from my head. I said to myself, how insignificant is man in the face of the things God created, sun, Eckhart, earth, and much more. Why should I get upset with my fate? God rules everything according to his purpose. What would he say about my fate? If he wanted, he could send me to the sun without anything happening to me there. As good as I came here, I will return again. Encouraged by these thoughts again, I put everything in God's hands, since everything happens according to his infinite will. I walked back and forth a lot more quietly when Eckhart came into the room with his son. He noticed that I was depressed, and came up to me. He looked me in the eye, put his hand on my shoulder and asked, you do not seem to feel very well? I've been thinking, I said, head down. What were you thinking about? He asked with a smile. Well, about many things, about my return to the earth, about my family and many other things. He gave me some friendly pats and replied, do not worry, tomorrow everything will be fine again. The boy was already seated, and when Eckhart asked me to, I sat down also. Since they were both with me, I felt a little happier in my mood. Eckhart turned on an apparatus that was very similar to our TV. There appeared a ballet danced by women. He asked me, would you like an alcoholic drink? Since I had not drunk anything like that on Eckhart, I replied, but only very little, I prefer fruit juices. But it's a drink that I made myself, it would certainly taste good for you. He brought two full glasses, and I wondered, if this is his job, is he perhaps a producer of alcoholic beverages? How mysterious. I wonder if you need a license from the government to be both at the same time, government employee and factory owner. He offered me a glass and said, dry. I tried it, it was a bit sweet, very thirst quenching, but at the same time it had a considerable alcohol content. Did you make this yourself? Yes, he answered, smiling satisfied. You're a producer of alcoholic beverages? No, that's not the case. Eckhart is not allowed to serve alcoholic drinks in public, but you are allowed to make them at home and have drinks in your leisure time. What are these drinks made of? Mainly made from fruit. Why are public bars forbidden? Does this law also apply to restaurants? Yes, for all restaurants. The manufacturers sell them to private individuals? I said before that there are no alcohol factories. Why not? The reason is this, everyone can live without alcohol. But every human being must have food. Therefore, the government shut down all alcohol factories and converted them to food or consumer goods manufacturing. I find that the government of Eckhart is very interested in the problems of the people. Yes, for the people themselves are the government. From time to time the people elect their government. Your government is probably similar to a democracy on Earth. Do you know about our democracies?
Yes, I know something about it. Our government is similar in some ways. I had been to Akkad for 22 hours without having slept and was quite exhausted physically and mentally, but when I was with Akok and talked to him, I could not help asking new questions. It was much warmer in Akok's apartment than on the street, and so the topic of cold was irrelevant. Now I asked, in what ways is your government different from our democracies? Could you explain this to me? He touched his chin with his right hand and lowered his eyes, and after a few moments of deliberation he looked into my eyes and said, I could. I want to, but.
But why not?
I do not know what the reaction of my compatriots would be if they knew that I told you so much about Akkad. It could complicate your return to Earth. How could they find out? We are here alone, and I do not think your son understands us. Besides, he could never be used as a witness or a denouncer. No, a witness nor a denunciator would not be necessary. The son of the son and the counselors would know anyway. So they are omniscient?
Absolutely. If I introduce you tomorrow and one of them asks me what I have said to you, I should tell him this. We never lie, not even to save our lives. He who lies lies in an insult to the Creator. What would be the significance if I learned everything about Akkad, especially since I'm already here and see and hear a lot?
Well, this is very complicated.
Please, Dornia TMT, ask me any more for your own good until tomorrow. Wait until you see the Son of the Sun and the Counselors with your own eyes. I think I have been too involved in certain areas.
Akok was right to tell me all this, because the next day I learned that the members of the council did not all agree with me. Some said there was no danger to them if a simple worker from Earth learned about Akkad and its inhabitants. They wanted to bring return me without giving me any physical proof of my stay on Akkad, so no one on Earth would believe me, where only photos or eyewitnesses are recognized, but not an individual word, however much it may correspond to the truth. The others, however, attributed greater importance to the problem my presence represented, perhaps assuming that I was a disguised scientist through whom the Earthlings could learn more than the Akkadians would like. They had allowed me to get close enough to their spacecraft because I was curious. And now that I was on Akkad, thanks to the imprudence of one of their own, they might think that I could hamper or prevent a long-developed plan for Earth by allowing me to return to Earth. I wanted to convince Akok of the opposite and said, it will certainly have no evil consequences for Akkad to show or tell me anything. I have been convinced by you that the people of Akkad are very peaceful and generous. My treatment here is so good that I will never forget it. Even if I had the opportunity, I would never betray the Akkadians and disturb their peace. I also believe that the people on Akkad do not judge us Earth dwellers any worse, nor do you want to do any harm to us, otherwise they would surely have long ago found ways and means to destroy us. No, of course we will not disturb your peace, but, as he pronounced the last word, Akok suddenly stood up. It seemed to me as if he had received an electric shock and said, we should break off our conversation now and go to dinner. I felt a great need for sleep. I do not think that I ever spent 20 hours without sleep on Earth, possibly once in an exceptional case. Normally I sleep 8 to 9 hours out of every 24 hours. Akok looked at his watch and said, you are still short 1.46 Earth minutes, then you have spent 22 Earth hours without sleep. With all the news and surprises of today, I do not want to think about sleep anymore. I can catch up later. He looked a little worried, but then laughingly said, that's it. At that moment, his wife, smiling as usual, came into the room, caressing her son in passing, and approached Akok. The boy must be even more tired than I was. He had sat in his chair the whole time, watching us without saying a word, for he could not understand us. Akok spoke a few words to his wife, then she went out again. I had not understood her conversation and had stayed seated. Akok brought another drink to us, he said, to bridge the time to eat. Shortly thereafter, his wife appeared with the food. She set the table, and as I studied her, I noticed that she was styled differently than before. The hair she had previously worn down around her shoulders was now braided and pinned up in four braids. We finished our drink and talked to each other, but only about inconsequential things. I saw now that the living room also served as a dining room. All furniture could be stored in the walls. I concluded that there was a lack of housing on Eckhart. Acock's wife now indicated that dinner was ready. I use that word because it had become dark by now. I had already sat down, but got up again for the prayer that they speak before eating. The four of us stood and silently performed our prayers, and I thanked God that I was allowed to take this meal. We sat down and I looked at the dishes. It was about the same as the last meal, but fortunately this time there were two bowls of meat. I noticed that in the second bowl there was fish in it. Until now, I had always asked the questions, now I was asked myself. Acock served as an interpreter and translated some questions from his wife, and his son began to fret after being silenced the entire time. In the meantime I had provided myself with meat and the blackish rye bread and also put something on my plate that looked like rice. I looked at the other bowl and asked, "Is that fish?" "Yes," Acock replied. "Do you like that?" "Yes, I like to eat it on Earth, but I have not eaten here yet." "He is unlike the fish on Earth?" "No, fish are aquatic animals like yours and you will have noticed for sure that our water is the same as on Earth." "Yes, it tastes equally good and is as clear as ours, but on Earth I can quench my thirst with a sip of water, while I have to drink liter here." "Yes, that may be true. But that is not noticeable for the fish that lives in it." He pushed the bowl closed and said, "Dry." I took two pieces, and it actually tasted like our fish, except that the flesh felt soft like whipped egg white. Despite this opulent meal I had the feeling that I weighed barely 50 kilograms. "By the way, what's the main food in your homeland?" "Well, you know that my homeland is Brazil." "Yes, I know almost all continents and their countries on Earth either in person or from maps. I come from southern Brazil. There the climate is mild, but there are also cold and warm seasons there, and according to these, cereals or fruit is grown. The winter grain is sown in winter and harvested in summer. There is no consistent line regarding our diet, as many inhabitants of other parts of the world immigrated to Brazil and settled there. Some eat this way, the others eat another way. The European, Z. For example, the German prefers sweets, whereas the Latin American loves more acid. We have the natives who descended from the Indians, then the Portuguese conquerors who came from Europe, but who are now born Brazilians, since they have influenced our civilization for 400 years. They prefer meat and other foods of high nutritional value. But one cannot say that we have a uniform diet. Preference often differs from city to city. I conclude from what you told me about Eckhart that most of our crops would not thrive here on Eckhart.
Why not?
Well, the cereals sown in winter and harvested in summer grows in the form of seeds. In the cold, it would not germinate. We also grow many other products in summer, but if it is cold outside, they suffer great harm.
Of course, there are also products that grow in cold zones, and those that grow in perpetual heat. But these are low in number. That's why I think the products that grow in Brazil cannot grow on Eckhart, because there are neither cold nor warm seasons here.
Acock sighed deeply and said, "Maybe, you know, you are a farmer."
"No, I grew up in a rural area. My parents, however, are farmers. At present, I am without employment on Earth. I am a tractor driver by profession. I'm looking for work in a community."
"Are you married?"
"Yes, and I have two children." He turned to his wife, and judging from her expression, he must have told this.
"My wife asks if you have sons or daughters."
"I have a son and a daughter."
"How old are they?"
"My daughter is 2 years and my son almost 1 year old." He translated this to his wife and let her ask questions.
"Does your family know where you went?"
"Yes, they only know that I wanted to visit my parents and at the same time wanted to collect money somewhere. When I was on my way home, this event happened, and now I'm here. If someone tells my wife that I've left my parents' house to go home, she'll be very worried about me, because I'm sure some people have already seen me near my home. But I really hope that my wife has not heard anything and thinks I'm still with my parents. If it were otherwise, only God knows what could happen. She would surely think that I was a victim of a traffic accident. I do not want to think about that. We were finished with the meal now. I had not eaten very much. Firstly, I did not like the food very much, and secondly, my conversation had taken my appetite. As Acock translated the conversation to his wife, I lowered my head. I had a lump in my throat, like swallowing a bone. The more I tried to control myself, the worse it became. I could not stop a tear from rolling over my cheek. Acock said, "My wife is very sorry that she does not speak German. She would like to speak directly with you." A question from the boy, who translated his father to me, amused me a little. "Do you like it here?" "Well, I'm being treated very well here, but you are still too small to understand what a father feels so far from his family as I am now. And if my father brought your family here, would not you like to live here?" "Yes, I would like that, and my children could be educated here like Akashans, but that will never be in the realm of possibility." He was silent and looked at me sadly. Acock's wife brought us something to drink and cleared the table. Her ever-friendly expression had turned to concern and pity when I had told a part of my life. With Acock I noticed something strange. I suspected he was probably thinking a lot about my situation. Maybe he also had bad news for me. This foreboding should be fully confirmed the next day. Although I felt great respect for my hosts, I could not suppress a yawn now. "Let's go to sleep now," Acock said. "Yes," I answered. But at the same time, I was thinking of the next night. With its 23 Earth hours, I had never slept so many hours on Earth. 8. A city at night. Acock looked at his watch and said, "Well, it's not that long to sleep, since it has become dark. Already 3/10 have passed. So there are only 20 hours left, and if we wake up before sunrise, there are only 18 hours left. That's still a lot. It's twice my longest sleep on Earth." He got up, patted my shoulder, and replied, "You will hardly notice it in your great need for sleep." "Well, be that as it may. What time do you normally go to sleep here on Akkad?"
"That depends on the circumstances. Of course, when we go out in the evening or have a visit, we go to beds later, but usually at 4 o'clock in the first hour of the night."
"Excuse me, if I keep asking more questions, it lacks 1/10 to your normal bedtime?"
"Yeah, just about. You can still ask me about such issues, but I would like you to postpone essential questions till tomorrow, as I may not be able to answer you." I had already risen and stood in front of him.
"If you want to shorten the night a bit, I could show you the city, but if you prefer to go to sleep, I will wake you at 4 o'clock.
"Yes, I would like to see something of your beautiful city."
He gave me a cloak of thick fabric and said, "Put that on."
"But why? I'm not freezing."
He laughed and said, "I do not insist, but I can tell you that it's very cold outside now, much colder than here. It's clear you will not feel cold here, but it's very different outside." I wrapped my cloak around me and walked to the platform where the machine was parked, closing the door quickly behind us so the cold wind would not enter. Mother and son were still in the room. The boy was reading something that looked like hieroglyphics. His mother was busy elsewhere. Acock was walking toward a pillar standing at a corner of the platform, and I thought he wanted to lean against it, but he pressed a button there, and a kind of railing appeared before us to lean on. I wanted to do that so that I could see the city better, but it was so cold that I quickly withdrew my hands to warm them and protect my face as much as possible. But what I am about to tell was not written until the next day. When I looked at the city, I was mute with delight. It was the most wonderful and breathtaking spectacle I have ever seen. I had often been left open-mouthed, but what I saw now surpassed everything that I had earlier seen. The majestic and beautiful city that I flew over during the day now seems to be on fire, for the firelight that seemed to consume them shone in many colors. With some difficulty I found the language again and asked, "But what is that? What a TMS happening here? What do you mean?" "Well, that with the houses. Nothing has happened," he said without understanding me. "Yes, but the firelight everywhere. The light comes from the walls." "Yes, but why does not the whole thing burn down?" "No, no, it only looks like it is burning. It's the same sheen during the day."
"Yes, sure. Of course, in the daytime, when the sun shines on it, everything lights up, but now there is no sun. I can assure you that this is absolutely normal. The material from which the houses are built radiates this splendor, whether by day or by night. Of course, it looks different at night, of course. That's a miracle, it's incredible." He made another remark. I cannot remember if I answered him, because what I saw intrigued me so much. All the houses, big and small, seemed to be made of incandescent steel and glowed like huge lamps. However, their light did not radiate further than 2 to 3 meters. But until that distance you could see everything, all the windows, all the inscriptions were clearly visible. As the streets were narrow, the light reached almost from one side of the street to the other. Above the middle of the street, where the light was no longer enough, there were lamps like ours that could be easily distinguished from the brightness of the house walls. The light of the lamps was the same everywhere, while the walls shone in different colors. I was so delighted by the sight that I could well have looked on all night, but Acock grabbed my arm and pulled me into the house. I apologized that I had not listened. He said, "All right, I understand, but now let's go to sleep, you must be very tired." He led me into the room, where I said goodbye to his wife and son, and at the far end of the room Acock pressed a button on the wall, where a door opened, which I had not noticed before I had took this place for an ornament on the wall. I looked in amazement into the space behind, in which there was nothing at all. It was only a large closet. I looked at the floor and noticed that it was the same as in the living room. I thought I would have to spend the whole long night sleeping on the floor, but thank God that was not the case. Acock pressed a button on the wall, from which a bed descended. Another push button revealed a cabinet and a third a sink with faucet. "Here is your bed and wash basin, your things hang in the closet, and there is the light." It was a wall lamp like on earth. "Thank you very much, sir. If you need anything tonight, press the button next to the door. And good night." I closed the door behind him and leaned against it with my hands to look closely at everything. The room was small, but with all the necessities for one person. In the closet hung my earth clothes. I ran my hand over it and sat down on the bed. A great sadness and longing attacked me. I was close to crying. It would have been better if the clothes had been stored somewhere else, then I would not have had to see them right now. For many hours I had not seen anything that reminded me of the earth. If Acock had known that they made me so sad, he would surely have put them somewhere else. I took my clothes and pressed them against my breast, as if they were the dearest thing I had on earth. Mother, father, wife, children and siblings all at that moment united in these clothes. It is hardly possible that my clothes and I are the only thing that is so far from the earth where I was born. "How sad I am," I murmured, hardly believing that anyone ever once hung on his clothes as I did at the moment. They represented everything, my whole life, my sadness and my homesickness at the same time. It comforted me that I could touch something that came from the earth, and I sat on the bed, still with my clothes on my knees and my head bowed, thinking about earth and Eckhart, and my earlier life. I thought, if I do not go crazy now, I would probably never do so in my life. Finally I got up, put the clothes back in the closet and locked it, not without another long consideration. Sighing, I went back to my bed and sat on it, desperate as never before. So I imagined a prisoner, who comes for the first time in a prison. Who could imagine that it really was true, if Acock assured me that I would be brought back to earth, and that the Akashans would show so much kindness to a poor terrestrial human being like myself that they really are traveling 60 million kilometers would just set me down on Earth again. All this was going through my head right now. In this loneliness and silence there were no trams or trains, no cars, nothing that could make noise at this hour of the night. The city seemed to me as if it was closed, silent. I was so depressed that I thought of suicide, my nerves were tense, and I had great difficulty struggling to regain some control so as not to go completely crazy. This horrible condition continued for a while before I got up to wash my face and arms with cold water. I began to undress myself, because now I was overcome by great fatigue. As I undressed, I took a closer look at my footwear. When I put on my shoes, I did not look at them so closely, but now, despite my condition, I almost burst into loud laughter. I had never seen anything like it. Although I had been wearing them all day, it was not until now that I noticed they were so soft. I hope you understand my description. I should have a cast of it, or explain it personally. They looked something like this, in the front part, where the shoe often pinches the toes. When it is new, it was wide, so that every toe could comfortably fit. In length, they came to me two sizes too big, but with such a shoe that was probably not so important. The shoe was suspended in the middle of the sole, above that was a kind of air cushion, and then came a kind of sweat sole. Everything was so appropriate that one felt neither the uppers, nor the air cushion inlay. The heel was made of a sort of leather with V-shaped springs, which were very tough, but still very fine and gave the foot a good grip. After that, I put my shoes on the floor and stretched out on the bed. The anxious thoughts were about to come over me again, but I was so tired now that I soon fell asleep. I fell asleep very fast. I could have been carried away safely in my sleep, I would not have noticed. I must have slept for a very long time, and the blood in my head pounded as if I had a hard knock. When I moved my arms and legs, I hurt all over, even though the bed was very comfortable. This certainly came from the efforts of yesterday. I saw that the light was still burning. Apparently I forgot to turn it off. I was ashamed that I unnecessarily consumed so much electricity. I had just been too tired to see anything when I felt the bed under me. Maybe Akok would not notice that I had slept with the light on. I straightened up in bed to somehow discover what time it was. There was no sound from outside either, everything was dead quiet. I got up, stretched, and searched for a window, but found none. I probably had to be inside the apartment, where there were no windows, but only an air conditioning system. Akok had told me that most of the apartments were built this way. Since I was already awake, I washed myself with the crystal clear water and took a sip of it. Then I wondered if I should put on the earth or the Akat clothes, finally decided on the latter. I certainly had plenty of time left, so I looked at the clothes a bit more closely. When I took the shirt in my hand, I thought, very elegant. There were so many flounces and fringes on it, that one could have decorated 25 children's bibs with it. But that was certainly the fashion here. I remembered the saying, what is fashionable is never wrong. And pulled the shirt over my head. I slipped on my pants, their zipper on both sides was probably almost 4 meters long. I almost forgot to put on my shoes. I bent down and grabbed a shoe and started laughing. It was very comfortable to wear, but it looked like a clown's shoe with a big toe part. I thought about what to do. Should I sleep again? Akok was probably asleep too. I waited a bit longer, then I went to the door and opened it a crack. I was very happy when I saw that it was day. The other room was sun-flooded. Through the windows of the front you could see the sun shining on the opposite houses. Feeling glad that I had the terrible night behind me, I put out the light in my room, went out and closed the door behind me. I went through the living room to the door that led to the stairwell, from where I had seen the blazing city the night before. I looked out, the city was beautiful and majestic in front of me. I was about to go out on the terrace when it occurred to me that it might still be cold outside. So I went back to the living room, where still nothing stirred. I did not know where Akok was with his family, but they certainly would not still be sleeping. Then I took the cloak and opened the shutter that Akok had probably lowered in the evening. Now I could look at the city again. From this side the view was very nice. One particular house was nicer than the others. The sun was still low on the horizon, but the day promised to be as beautiful as yesterday, for there was no cloud in the sky.